today. I'm honored to be here. I want to tell you that I pastor in North Phoenix at a place called Desert Springs Bible Church, but I have been connected to Roosevelt in a variety of different ways over actually a long, long time. And for those of you that are newer to Roosevelt, I want to tell you that this is, just from an outsider's perspective, one of the best churches in Phoenix. You totally need to go to that dinner that's coming up here and learn more about Roosevelt, ways you can get connected. This is one of the, in fact, don't tell my church, this is the best church in Phoenix. So I really want to encourage you in that. So Pastor Vermone and Danae and John and James and Zach and Crystal are some of the best leaders in the Valley. And I want to tell you, again, as someone who knows them and listens to them and learns from them a lot, they love you so much. And they love pastoring you most of the time. You have great leaders here at Roosevelt. And so if I wasn't paid to go to my church, I would definitely be here. I have oftentimes turned to your leaders for insight and wisdom, never more so than over the last year. In fact, Vermona and I have like this kind of interesting connection. So we both had the same mentor, Pastor Tim Savage, who pastored at Camelback Bible Church many years ago for many years. And actually, Camelback was instrumental in planting Roosevelt. So many years ago, Vermona and I both had Tim as mentor, although we didn't meet at that time. We met years later. And so I love the leadership of this church, not only because of what they're doing in pastoring you, but also because of how they're pastoring me as well. And in this last year, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the last year has been a bit of a year. And for me, at least, this season has been a season of recognizing my weakness. How about you? Has anyone been rocking it over the last year, last 12 months? Have the last 12 months been like the epitome of your great success? How many of us have felt like coming into this year, we're just a little bit concerned that we're not going to be able to exhibit just as much power as we did in the previous year? No, I think most of us, as we look over the last 12 months, we'll find that we have become more and more familiar with our weakness. For me, the last 12 months have been physically, familially, vocationally, and spiritually a season of weakness. Now, we don't know each other for most of us, but I'll just want to be forthright with you, as much as I think is safe and as possible. I think 2020, for my vocation, was probably the worst year of my life. I've been serving at Desert Springs in pastoral ministry for over 15 years, and the middle of last year was, I've never felt more weak. On top of it, physically, I got the Rona, as we like to call it in North Phoenix, in, I think it was like June or July. And then I got shingles. And then because of the shingles virus infected my face, and my face became paralyzed. I had what's called Ramsey-Hunt syndrome. And so most of the time, by the way, I do think that was an answer to some people's prayer. But as a public communicator, right, as someone whose role is to speak a bunch, having a paralyzed face, like literally the whole right side of my face was still paralyzed. I don't know, most of you probably aren't able to tell, but I still have some issues with my muscles on the right side of my face. One of the most vivid things that happens to me right now is when I yawn, my right eye starts involuntarily blinking, which has miscommunicated a lot of things to a lot of people in public settings. But more than that, I found it very difficult to navigate the complexities of my vocation. I mean, in 1 week, I got called a fascist, a communist, and a leader with a Luciferian spirit. That was 1 week. I'm not used to that in 1 week. I know that many of you have had those same things happen to you. Many of my relationships began to tear apart at the seams. I felt weak in that I couldn't keep these relationships together. I was so confused as to why is this person saying this and why do they seem to hate the other person? And within my family, within my relational sphere, within my church family, within my community, everything seemed to be tearing apart at the seams. I've never felt more weak. And then we also had funeral after funeral after funeral. Severe illness within our church family and within my own family. And on top of all of this, we're in a climate where politics has never been more divisive, where the conversation around racial reconciliation does not seem to be a conversation anymore, but just a bunch of people yelling and screaming and accusing each other. Even the issue of wearing a safety device on your face to protect people from getting a virus became something that we used to hate each other. On top of all that, a 24-hour news cycle with curated clickbait designed by capitalistic corporate entities to make money on my anger and my fear. I've never felt more weak. How about you? Does this ring true for any of you? So what do we do when we're weak? I could tell you that I spent some time last year thinking and meditating on this. What do I do? What am I prone to doing when I feel weak? And here's a few, maybe some of you might resonate with this. One of the things that I do when I feel weak, one of my natural tendencies is to try to find someone else to blame. I want it to be someone else's fault so I don't have to take responsibility. If only it weren't for this person or this leader, then my life would be better. One of my natural tendencies when I feel weak is to look for somebody to blame, a secret evildoer that I can war with even. And if we could just conquer over them, then I wouldn't feel so weak. It allows me, by finding someone to blame, it allows me to power up. You see, when I'm weak, one of my natural tendencies is to find someone to blame so that I can feel powerful. Another natural tendency, and this is corollary, is that I feel outrage towards those who view things different than me. I feel justified in my outrage towards them. Someone says something that makes me, that I disagree with, and I justify my outrage in the midst of my weakness because if I can feel outrage, I don't have to feel so powerless. One of my natural tendencies when I feel weak is to transition to a feeling of outrage towards the thems in the world. Y'all know who I'm talking about? You got some thems? You know those people that you hate? Come on, you guys are acting like we don't. What are we doing here? Are we telling the truth? Huh? Okay, so you know the people that if they walked into, if they were the majority of this congregation, you would leave this congregation. You know what I'm talking about, right? Some of them wear certain pieces of clothing. Some of them get the tattoo. Some of them talk a certain way. Some of them look a certain way. You know the thems. Don't we all have thems? If we didn't have thems, then why did Jesus have to say, love your enemies? You see, my natural tendency is to feel outrage towards the thems because it makes me feel powerful. One of my other natural tendencies when I'm weak is to justify and normalize what I normally don't do. You see, on my best days, what I don't do is slander other people. On my best days, what I don't do is gossip about other people. On my best days, what I don't do is lie. But you see, when I feel weak, one of my natural tendencies is to lie, to gossip, to slander, because it makes me feel powerful. If I can denigrate someone else, especially the thems, then I no longer have to feel weak. Another natural tendency is to believe in or at least propagate news of dubious origin that align with my prejudices and reinforce my social identity. I'm gonna do that one more time. One of my natural tendencies when I feel weak is to propagate news or media of dubious origin that align with my prejudices or reinforce my social identity. If it makes my team look good, I can't wait for you to read it or watch the video. If it criticizes or critiques my team, fake news. You see, when I feel weak, I'm going to propagate things, even stuff of information of dubious origin, as long as it aligns with my perspective or reinforces my social identity. And finally, when I feel weak, I grow more and more insular, feeling more comfortable separating into a smaller group of my kind of people and making sure I'm never around those people who make me feel weak. As long as I'm with my own, I don't have to feel weak. I can feel powerful. And so as I've spent some time meditating on these things and noticing this about myself, and perhaps I'm the only one, or perhaps not, I've grown to wonder, is this in line with the teachings and example of Jesus? Are these natural tendencies that I go to when I feel weak, is this in line with the teachings and example of Jesus? And you'll never guess what the answer is. No. You see, when I look for someone to blame, when I cling to outrage, when I strive to justify that which I don't normally do, when I propagate information of dubious origin that aligns with my prejudices and reinforces my social identity, when I continually grow insular, excluding myself from a diverse community of people and only sticking it out with my own, when I choose to do that in my weakness, I simply am adding more evil to the world, which I don't actually want to do. I mean, it makes me feel good, but at the end of the day, I don't think I actually want to add more evil to the world. And so as a Jesus follower, I know not all of us are followers of Jesus, and if you're in the process of trying to figure out who Jesus is and what it means to follow Jesus, I'm so glad that you're a part of this church family. Within this congregation, I want to just tell you something. That I know that there are a lot of examples of people who use the name of Jesus or people who follow after Jesus who are bad examples. But I want to encourage you, look at the example of this church family. Look to the boots on the ground, honest to goodness, people in the room, people in the community, followers of Jesus, and see if you don't find a community of love, grace, and forgiveness. As a Jesus follower, I find that it's often local news that shows what Jesus looks like in the church, but some of that headline news simply tries to find those who distort. And so I'd encourage you to look to Roosevelt Community Church and the way that this congregation behaves towards one another to see Jesus at work. And as a follower of Jesus, I am wondering, is there a better way? What do I do when I feel weak? TV timeout. Have you ever felt weak? As you think about the last 12 months, as you think about your family, as you consider your vocation, as you think about the relationships that you have, do you know what it is to feel weak or powerless? So I want you to think on that space. I don't know, maybe the Lord's bringing something to mind even right now. That space, that place of weakness. And ask yourself, what do I do when I am weak? There's a early follower of Jesus named Paul. He was a pastor, and he writes to a church in a place called Corinth, and they were also wrestling with this question, what do we do when we feel weak and powerless? This group of people was subject to an abusive government that was contrary to their belief structures. In fact, they felt, even within their own church family, this backbiting and gossiping and slander, and they felt economic weakness and relational weakness, and they're wrestling with the same question that we're wrestling with, because weakness is, at least in my understanding of Scripture, one of the definitive parts of the human condition. And so what do we do when we're weak? Paul writes to this group in Corinth, a group of Jesus followers that's pretty much just like us. And he's giving his own experience, kind of like how I've given you my experience. And he talks about how he has what's he refers to as a thorn in the flesh, some sort of maybe physical ailment or spiritual ailment, something that's weighing him down, and he's agonizing. And in this weakness, in this position of agony, he says that I prayed to the Lord multiple times to take this thorn in the flesh away from me. And we're all hanging on the edge of our seat wondering, what happened, Paul? Was there a miracle? Did God fix everything that was wrong in your life? You feel weakness, Paul. Pastor Paul, we feel weak. Tell us what we should expect from God. Tell us what God did for you. And this is what he says. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'll have it up on the screen for us. Verses 9 and on. But he said to me, so this is Paul, Pastor Paul. What is Paul feeling? I can hear the people online louder than you, okay? What is Paul feeling? Is he feeling strong or weak? Weak. He's feeling weak, okay? So he's saying to this group of people who are feeling strong or weak, they're feeling weak. And he's pastoring them through this weakness. And this is what he says. He talks about how he pleaded with the Lord about this. And he says this in verse 9. But he, namely Jesus, said to me, my grace is, what's the word? Sufficient for you. For my power. Whose power? Paul's or Jesus's? Jesus's. For my power is made perfect in what? In weakness. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, some of us say amen. And I'm going to amen with you. But on my not-so-best days, this is one of those passages where I don't say amen. This is one of those passages where I say, nah. Or, I want to just, and here's why, right? I want to feel powerful, right? I hate feeling weak. You all with me? Right? 10 out of 10 congregants agree they would rather feel powerful than weak. And so I don't want to hear that Paul, Pastor Paul, is saying, for the sake of Christ, I am content with weakness. Content with what now? Homie, content with weakness? I don't want to feel weak. Give me the prayer to say so that all these problems go away. I am content with weakness. I want you to listen to this. Tell me if this isn't 2020. For I am content with weakness, insult, hardship, persecution, and COVID-19, calamities. For I am content with weakness, insult, hardship, persecution, and calamities. For when I am what? Weak, then I am strong. Why? Because Christ's power is perfected in my weakness. And so, remember when I asked you to consider that space or place in your life that you feel weak? You guys remember that? I asked it 7 minutes ago. You guys remember that? Go back to that place. And I'm going to ask you a not fun question. Are you content with that? Are you content to feel weakness? Maybe the weakness that you feel is because of insult or relational fractures. Maybe the weakness that you feel is because of hardship and difficulties in your life. Maybe it's because of outright persecution or simply calamity. Are we willing to be a people who give this text a hearing, an honest hearing? Am I content in my weakness? You see, if I'm discontent with my weakness, I tend to go back to my natural tendencies, to blame, to accuse, to feel outraged, to fill my life with an overriding sense of self-satisfaction in which I simply judge others and try to find others to reinforce that. And yet, here, because of who Jesus is and because what Jesus has done, I am called as a Jesus follower to be content in my weakness because it's within my weakness that the power of Christ is made known. I want to read just the beginning of the verse again. Jesus said to me, my, what's the word? My grace is what? Sufficient. Notice what he says next. For my power is made what? Perfect in weakness. Whose power? Okay, so let's lean into this. In that place or space of weakness that you feel, right? Again, whether it's hardship, insult, persecution, calamity, whatever it is, in that place in your life, in that space of weakness, according to my understanding of what Pastor Paul is guiding us through, in that place of weakness, are you willing to look for not an increase of your own power, but are you willing to find in it Christ's power perfected in that weakness? You see, this is why I think the writer, Paul, can say, I'm content with my weakness. That area of my life, that thorn in the flesh that I pleaded that the Lord would take away, he hasn't taken it away. And so I sit content, recognizing that he's not going to give my power an increase in that weakness, but in the midst of that weakness, he's going to increase his power. And that's a gift. That's a grace gift, which is sufficient for me. So again, I don't know most of you personally, but I'm going to get personal. As some say, I'm coming to your living room. What would it look like for you in that deep place of pain, in that space of weakness, in the place that you don't want to even conjure up into your mind because it's uncomfortable, it's frustrating, it's devastating, it's saddening? What would it look like for you to, one, be content with that remaining as is, and instead of asking for an increase of your own power or for the problem even to go away, rather remaining content in that space, looking for Christ's power to increase and to be made known? You see, it is in that space of contentment and reliance on the power of Jesus that we find the strength not to give ourselves over to evil responses to our weakness, but rather to joy. Life in Jesus is a life of constant clinging to Jesus. A life in Jesus is a life of constant clinging to Jesus for his power. See, we don't go to Jesus to co-sign our own solutions, to co-sign our own perspectives. We go to Jesus to rely on his power. What would it look like in that place or space of weakness for you to trust in the power of Jesus to be made known in the midst of your weakness? I remember a time when I was carrying, I think it was my son on my shoulders. You guys ever seen this phenomenon where parents carry their children on their shoulders? So I want to tell you something about my weakness. I'm not able to grow hair on the front part of my head. And I think it's because my kid ripped it out. If I could grow hair on all of my head, I would grow hair down to here. I love long hair. My wife doesn't, and I think she's secretly putting something on my hair to keep it short. But my son was riding on my shoulders, grabbing my hair, and I'm trying to get him, no, grab the forehead, which is increasingly large lately. And he was scared. Something had happened. I think maybe I shifted my body or something happened around, and he was scared, and I could tell that he was scared. You know what words came out of my mouth? It's okay, buddy. I'm going to keep you safe. And I reflected on that promise that, frankly, I could not actually keep. I can't keep the promise. I, Dad, will keep you safe. What I can promise is I will do everything in my power, or I will always, as long as I have breath, strive to keep you safe and healthy. But one of the things I can't promise is I will keep you safe. Only the Lord can promise that. You see, a life following Jesus is a life clinging constantly to Jesus and trusting in his power. And so at least for me, in that moment, one of the things I had to recalibrate was, am I relying on my own strength for my children's protection, or am I trusting in the power of Jesus? One of the questions that we ask at Desert Springs on our staff is this question. We ask it every week that we meet. How have you seen God at work? I love that open-ended question. How have you seen God at work? Because it covers a whole spectrum of cool ways that God has been alive and active within our leadership, within our church family. And you know, most of the stories that come to mind of how we've seen God at work don't start like this. You know, everything was going awesome. I felt completely in control of my life and entirely content in my own power. And then God did a miracle. I've not heard that story. The God at work stories that we are constantly telling each other are these stories. I felt weak. I felt powerless. Things were spinning out of control. I had no say, no power in this place. And then Jesus showed up and did something. And let me tell you how I've seen him at work. You see, when the Apostle Paul says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, he says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, listen to this, so that the power of Christ may rest on me. For the sake of Christ, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul is telling us here, too, that one of the key ways that we showcase the glory and power of Jesus is in those places and spaces of weakness. This is why Paul can be content with it. And so I want to conclude here because I've come into your house, I've sat down in the living room, now I want to go into your bathroom and rummage through your medicine cabinet. I'm not going to do anything weird, but I want to ask you to close your eyes. And I want you to go back to that place or space of weakness. For those of you that are watching online, if you would, close your eyes. I know that there's chaos all around us. I know that there's distractions, but just, if you would, take a big, deep breath in. Let it out. And go to that place or space of weakness. I don't know what Jesus has for you, but I know that his power is being made perfect in your weakness. And that in that space that you have in your mind right now, he longs to showcase his grace, his love, his mercy, and his strength. And as you stay in that space, recognizing that place of weakness, would you hear this truth? Jesus loves you more than you could ever imagine. He loves you so much. He's given his life for you. He has risen from death, conquering over evil and our great enemy, death, and standing victorious over the grave and over all of the universe. He is right now in that place of weakness, in that space of powerlessness. He is present with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And finally, there are some of us I know that may be feeling guilt or shame because of this area of weakness. Maybe we feel afraid to talk to Jesus about it. But I want to encourage you in this. St. Augustine, great old theologian, said these words. Speaking to Jesus, he says, "You were more inward to me than my most inward part, and higher than my highest." To put it another way, especially as you're considering that space or place of weakness, Jesus is nearer to you than you are to your own self. He is acquainted with this space of weakness, and he longs to reveal his goodness, his power, and his grace there. He loves you so much. Would you join me as we pray? Jesus, I simultaneously feel frustrated and encouraged by this teaching because I don't like feeling weak. And yet, Jesus, I feel it all the time. And I have found that in my weakness, all of these other possible solutions and answers that I try to give, the things that my heart naturally tends towards, they don't work. And moreover, they simply add more evil to the world. And so, Jesus, I'm comforted by these words that your grace is sufficient for me, that your grace is sufficient for each one of us here in our place or space of weakness. Jesus, you are present. So, Spirit of the living God, I simply ask that right now you would speak to each one of us in these spaces of weakness. Guide us moment by moment. Heal us. Bring us peace. That we might be a people content with our weakness, clinging to you, Jesus, recognizing that it is in that weakness that you make us strong by your power. We love you, Lord. We ask these things, Jesus, knowing that you're powerful to bring these things about and that you love us more than we can ever imagine. And so we entrust ourselves to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.